League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To Honduras. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased and owned. Yes, from the one and only place to get a BMW. Advantage BMW Midtown. I love the drive of a BMW. I love the 5 Series. And the other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go say hello to Philip. Go say hello to Justin. Take a look at them online at BMWHouston.com. Time now for my interview with Albert Elise. Earlier today, I caught up with him down at Houston Amateur Sports Park. Albert Elise joining us now on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. First thing, just let's talk to Albert, and we're getting translation here from Edgar Valise. Let's talk to Albert about his form right now and his confidence.
No, muy bien. Creo que, gracias a Dios, he comenzado muy bien. Me siento muy bien físicamente y pues está viendo en el campo, ¿no? Y espero seguir de la misma manera para beneficio del equipo, ¿no?
I started well. I think you see it on the field physically. I'm at the top of where I can be. I'm just in great shape both mentally and physically and ready to tackle the next challenge. And that comes Saturday against Seattle.
Has anything changed in Albert's game? Has anything changed this year as opposed to last year? Has he added anything?
No, creo que la movilidad. Creo que ahora me estoy moviendo mucho más. No solo voy por derecha, sino que también voy por el centro o por izquierda. Entonces creo que eso me ayuda, ¿no? Y así el rival no sabe lo que voy a hacer, ¿no? Entonces eso me está ayudando mucho más en el juego, ¿no?
My mobility, I'd say that's probably the top thing that's changed for me this year, just given that I'm not stuck on one side of the field. I could go through the center, on the opposite end, interchange. Definitely my mobility, that's been the difference maker this year.
Has that freedom come from Wilmer Cabrera, or has that freedom come organically from himself?
Sí, no, lo hablamos con el profe. Él me dijo que tratara de hacer cosas nuevas, que no siempre fuera hacia mi pierna derecha. Entonces, eso me ayudó mucho y juego a juego lo hemos ido perfeccionando y se ha visto mejor en cada juego, ¿no?
It's definitely a conversation I had with Wilmer, just given that he wants me to do more than just rely on my right foot. So he's challenged me, he's asked me to do different things, and that's been the task this year, change my game and produce on the field as well.
Albert Elise joining us on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. You know him as La Pantarita, and he is off to a great start here in Major League Soccer. How important is it for him last year with the dip in form of the team to produce an overall consistent season from start to finish?
Sí, creo que el equipo está muy motivado, está muy compenetrado en el juego. Los nuevos refuerzos que llegaron han sido muy importantes para nosotros. La experiencia de la saga defensiva, de los dos centrales, creo que eso era lo que necesitábamos y por eso creo que nos estamos viendo mucho mejor, ¿no?
Overall, this team is just motivated. It's not so much that they weren't motivated last year, but some of these pieces that were brought in have made a big difference. Everything from the defensive end on upward, this team is just solid, and it starts there. It starts with the pieces in the back as we work our way forward.
Impressive that such a young man is so focused intensely. How does he remain focused? There's a lot of things that can pull you away from being focused on your football.
No, tratando en cada partido, tratando de ser el mejor siempre en cada juego. Creo que he venido trabajando muy fuerte. Siempre trato de trabajar extra en la semana para estar al 100% cada fin de semana en cada juego, ¿no? Y creo que se está viendo en cada partido y estoy muy feliz por eso, ¿no?
I'm motivated by being the best. I want to be the best, and I put in the extra time to work on my craft, touch on those minor details that make the difference. And I think you see it on the field. You see it on the field in the sense that I've changed my approach to certain things that I do on the field because that's what you need. That's what you need to progress and build and develop as a player.
Albert Elise joining us, Houston Dynamo striker, has been outstanding this year. They call him La Pantarita. When he gets dealt with physically by opponents, how do you handle that?
No, creo que no hay problema. Creo que cuando los rivales quieren jugar físicamente, pues vamos a ver quién es más fuerte, si él o yo. No creo que ese es mi fuerte. Sabemos que la rapidez también, entonces en cada juego, cuando me toca estar mano a mano, trato de superar a mis rivales de esa manera, ¿no?
That's not an issue. I think I'm pretty strong myself, so we'll just go toe-to-toe. I'm more than just speed, so if anybody wants to go square up, I'll be ready for them. That's something that doesn't faze me. It's part of the game. I can shift between both, and I'd say that I'm pretty good at both.
If he draws a few players to him, is it important for him to get the ball to others?
Sí, claro. Se sabe que cuando tengo la pelota, muchas veces vienen dos o tres del equipo rival, pero eso abre espacio para Manotas o para Memo o para el mismo Tomás, ¿no? Entonces, es importante que todos estemos al 100% y creo que es un equipo, ¿no? Y todos tenemos que estar de la mejor manera, ¿no?
No, definitely. And it definitely opens up space for others like Tomás, Manotas, Memo, just players who are very smart and are able to read that and be in the best place once I do distribute the ball.
All right, let's talk about Seattle and the challenge of playing in Seattle, big crowd, and, of course, on the artificial surface.
Sabemos que es muy difícil. No hemos podido ganar desde que llegamos aquí al equipo, entonces eso es algo que queremos, ¿no? Y vamos a ir a buscar allá, sabemos que son muy buenos con la pelota, pero nosotros también tenemos nuestras cualidades y vamos a tratar de aprovecharlas.
It's a difficult task. It's, you know, since I've been here, we haven't been able to beat them over there, so we know the challenge at hand. We know that it's going to be a difficult game just given to the roster that they have and the challenges that those players bring to the field, so we're looking forward to it. We are in good form, and we're taking that over there with our mind on our goal, which is to win.
Albert is a national hero. Children look up to him. Is that a big pressure?
Claro, en la selección la presión siempre está hacia mí. Sé que todo el país está esperando mucho de mí en esta Copa Oro y eso es algo también que me motiva a seguir trabajando, a estar al 100% porque sé que tengo la responsabilidad de que muchos estén esperando lo mejor de mí en la Copa Oro.
Yes, that extends to the national team as well. Being on the national team is a lot of pressure in itself, and there's a lot of people that expect a lot from me. It starts with the games coming up and then the Gold Cup as well. A lot of people want to see us succeed. A lot of people want to see me succeed. So it drives me. It drives me to be my best and just put in that extra work as well.
Right. Did a wonderful thing. We're talking to Albert Elise here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Did a wonderful thing going back to a school, I believe it was his school, and donating a bunch of computers. Very heartfelt move from a very young man.
Sí, ya la segunda vez que lo hago y me siento muy feliz. Es algo que me motiva. Que me llena de felicidad y por eso lo hago, ¿no? Por tratar de ayudar a los demás, que es algo que me llena a mí de felicidad.
This is the second time I've done this, and it just fills me with joy, just given that I could go back, give back to my community, and make a difference. That's something that I always look forward to when I was a kid, just someone to give me an opportunity, and that's what we're doing. We're giving these children an opportunity, not so much just on the field, but furthermore to enhance themselves as people.
With all due respect to the Dynamo, is the dream still Europe, to play in Europe?
Sí, sin duda que el equipo lo sabe, todos lo sabemos, entonces estamos disfrutando cada juego aquí con el Dynamo porque no sabemos cuándo puede ser el último.
Yes, that is definitely the goal. Everyone's aware of that. And until then, I'm just enjoying my time here. I'm enjoying every game with the Dynamo. We're doing well. We're in a good position, and you know, sometimes we just can't dictate how life will change that. So until that changes, I'm going to enjoy my time here.
Can Albert tell us something about himself that we don't know?
No, creo que... No, me no sé, creo que... Ya se sabe lo que me gusta, creo. Ya. En mis redes siempre hago lo que me gusta y lo comparto con los fanáticos, ¿no?
I'm an open book. I feel like fans who follow me on social media are able to tell what I like, what I'm into, what I look forward to doing while I'm here in town or just on my own time. So definitely very, very much an open book.
How about his favorite player that he's modeled himself after in the World's Game?
Tengo varios, ¿no? Samuel Eto'o, Didier Drogba, Mismo David Suazo de Honduras, siempre los he admirado.
There's quite a few, everyone from Drogba to Eto to there's just quite a few different folks that I've looked up to and mirrored because they just brought so much to the game.
All right, I know he's a big NBA fan. I've seen him sporting the Rockets jersey. He must be happy after the win last night by the Rockets over Golden State.
Sí, muy bien, muy feliz. Estaba en el estadio apoyando al equipo y creo que muy alegre y esperamos que puedan pasar a la siguiente ronda.
It was a great game. I was happy to be there and take part in that. I wish him the best. I was glad to be down there and check out the game and wish him the best, I guess, for Game 5, Game 6, and if needed, Game 7.
Does he see similarities between the NBA and professional soccer?
Sí, creo que siempre maneja igual, ¿no? Creo que cada jugador trata de ser profesional, entrenar mucho, trabajar igual para estar al 100% para cada partido, ¿no?
A lot of similarities in the sense that, you know, it's another professional league, one where it's the best in the world, and the athletes treat it that way. They just, that is their life. They get there and they prepare for each game, which is a battle, and it was fun to take part and watch one yesterday.
My thanks to Edgar Verlis for translation, and my thanks to La Pantarita. Albert Verlis, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for everything.
How about that English right there from Albert Verlis? Excellent. That was Albert Verlis from today, and we'll see how Albert Verlis and the Houston Dynamo do at Seattle. Hey, by the way, you catch the game down at in Edo at Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. Get in there. El Batallón will be having the watch party this weekend. You can catch the game also on the Cube. Do it at Kings Court this Saturday. KingsCourtTXHouston.com. Go in and say hello to Jay. And by the way, I want to remind you real quick here that Daspit Law Firm is our presenting sponsor. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm has us on the air here in Houston. And if you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, the Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7. DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 in Houston. And also Soccer Matters on Sundays on the Horn in Austin.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
The ball goes straight back up to Kalia Ojai. Now she's against Kennedy. Cuts it to her right. Shoots to the back post. Oh, my Ojai!
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, don't forget, Cube 57 is the official home for your Houston Dynamo matches this year. You can catch La Pantarita, Mauro Manotas, Kiki Struna, the Dynamo. Make sure you tune in to the Cube to catch the pregame show a half hour prior to the match. And then following the match, you tune into the postgame show as well. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself on the Cube for all your Dynamo action in 2019. And we also remind you, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, ICC, July 20th at Energy Stadiums. Soccer fans are not going to want to miss this. Doesn't get better than this. Two legendary clubs in town, Bundesliga winners Bayern and Real Madrid, and it's Galacticos and maybe some new Galacticos. You never know. Don't miss out. Get your tickets for Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Ticketmaster.com. Let's go right now to the Houston Dash. Kalia Ojai, the Dash off to a great start here in 2019. Kalia, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on.
Yeah, we're always glad to have the ladies on, and obviously a lot has changed this year under James Clarkson. How about taking us into that a little bit around the team, the spirit, where you are a couple games into 2019?
Yeah, we've had a lot of changes. Said a new coach. Not a lot of us knew a lot about James before he got here, and we just love him. We love his style. We love the way we're playing under him, and it's been an awesome preseason and start to the season. And I didn't even realize this, but this is our best start in club history, so we're doing awesome. I think we're getting better every single game. And that's just a testament to his coaching and the way he wants us to play. So it's been awesome so far.
Team seems a little more organized to me from the outside.
Yes, definitely more organized. We have more of a style, I think. And also, we just really compete at practice. It's just super intense. There's a lot of goals being scored. And so I think that's what we're taking into games. We're creating so many chances, and we haven't scored as many as we want to and that we hope to start scoring. But there's just, like you said, more organization and more intensity, I think.
All right, I want to talk about goals. We're talking to Kaylia Ojai of the Houston Dash. Speaking of goals, you scored a great goal against Orlando. I love this on the break, and you cutting in on your right, and you got two defenders there, and then you kind of bend it, curl it, hit it with some power to the far side netting. Take me through the goal.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a great pass by Sophia. I didn't realize how far back I was. I was almost at half field. She kind of sent it to me, and I dribbled. That's my favorite shot. That's why I love playing on the left, is because I'm right-footed. So I just kind of cut it in, and when I hit it, I thought it might be too wide, and I was watching, and then it kind of curled in at the last second. So it was so awesome. It's always so great as a striker and for me to get my first goal. It's pretty stressful when you're playing and it's a new season and you haven't scored yet. So I'm just really excited, and hopefully many more to come.
Yeah, and you had the comeback from the injury as well, which, you know, hasn't made things easy as of late.
Yeah, no, it's hard. I think, obviously, I tore my ACL 2 seasons ago, and it takes, you come back in 9 to 12 months from that, but it takes a much longer time to really feel like yourself, and I think it can be 2.5 years till you feel totally pain-free, injury-free, so it's been a really long road, but I'm finally feeling great and excited, and my body feels awesome, so I'm really excited to see this.
Yeah, what point did you feel total confidence in the knee again?
I think it took, after coming back, I came back about 10 months, I started playing in games, and it took at least, I would say, 5 to 6 games to feel totally, completely confident in my knee. And then it took even, I would say, to the end of last season to really feel like myself and feel like I was getting my full feedback and agility. So it really is such a long road, and it's mentally, it's exhausting. So that's what I was so excited about coming into this season, especially this off season, was training and not having to worry about my knee, worry about my injury, because that's just a whole nother type of off season, and that's hard. So I was really thankful coming into this season that I just felt great.
Kaylia Ojai joining us from the Houston Dash. They are in action at Utah this weekend. We'll ask Kaylia about that match a bit here. Now, look, your boyfriend's an elite athlete as well. We all know J.J. Watt. He's had his injury problems. Did you guys help each other, you know, lean on each other through injuries and support each other? I would imagine that.
Yes. It was hard. It was good in some aspects because we, you know, as you said, we helped each other. We leaned on each other. And really, I think he had some serious injuries before my ACL that I just didn't understand an injury. That was my first surgery I've ever had. And I think just the mental side of it was what was so hard for me. And I just expected to start rehab and just be totally ascending to becoming who I was again. And that's definitely not what happened. It's so up and down. There's some days you feel like you'll never get back to where you were. And he really helped me with that, just kind of understanding that's how the rehab process goes. It's up and down. There's some days where you feel terrible and you have to just keep going and keep working. And so, yes, we definitely helped each other. It was difficult because I was on crutches for about 2 months. And pretty much the month after I got off, he got on crutches for about 2 months.
Oh,
so we were on crutches for a solid 4 months, and that was pretty difficult. But we got through it, and yeah, he was a big help.
Well, I would imagine that because both of you being athletes, and those times can be very isolating, can't they? You don't feel like you're part of the team.
No, it really, that actually is a huge part of it that I didn't even think about. You kind of feel isolated. You're separated from the team. Even if you go to watch or to cheer them on, it's you're fighting your own battle completely. And everyone is so supportive. And then when they have to start playing again, they have to move on and they have to keep going and keep working and building. And you kind of just suck and you have to kind of figure out your stuff. So that was very hard for me, especially as a captain. And I love those girls so much. So that was very hard. So having DJ and his perspective helped so much.
So you got the Utah Royals this weekend, and obviously a very good team with a lot of good players. Talk a little bit about them, the challenges they'll pose on Saturday in Utah.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the league. They haven't lost a game, and they have some incredible players. And I think a big challenge this year with the World Cup is every team is going to be missing players, and already the U.S. players are gone. Now the Canadian players are gone. And I think that's one thing that we have a great non-international team, and I think one of the best in the league. And I also think Utah has the same thing. They're going to be missing their U.S. players, but they have so many great players that don't play on any international teams, and that will be a huge challenge for us. Also, it's always difficult to play in the altitude. We're definitely not used to that. And even if it's slight, I do feel a difference. I actually grew up in Utah, and going back, I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I play in this altitude? So that's a huge challenge. But we're excited and we have great momentum and we're ready.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting season with the NWSL and based on the Women's World Cup this summer, and basically you got to almost have two teams, don't you?
Yeah, it really is such a unique situation. It's really hard actually to explain it to people that don't really understand that you have a totally new team. You have girls, and it's awesome because you have girls that may not have gotten any opportunity or any chance, and they're amazing players. So it's awesome to see them step up and kind of play a role that they wouldn't have. And we have so many good international players. We're already missing our Canadians after this weekend. That's four starters that are just gone. And that's just a huge challenge. You have to, have so many new faces in the starting lineup. But like I said, I'm extremely confident in our non-international players, and we have a really deep roster, so I think we're going to be just fine.
Last one before I let you go, Kaylia. What do you think this Women's World Cup can do this summer for the women's game? With so many players from the NWSL competing in it, I would think the NWSL could get a great spike from this.
Yeah, I remember the last World Cup we had. That's exactly what happened. There was a good amount of people that had never watched soccer or just had never even heard of the NWSL, and they see the World Cup, and then they start coming out to the NWSL games, and they love it. And I remember the game after the U.S. won, we had an incredible crowd. I think it was like at least 12,000 people out to watch our game, and I think that's what's so cool about the World Cup is it just kind of raises awareness. And especially this year, there's been so much media and attention on this World Cup and the girls, and it's just awesome to see. It's awesome to see women get that attention that they deserve. So I'm very excited to see how everybody does, and then also get everybody back and see the spike that always comes with it.
Well, all ships rise with the tide, no question. We're glad to see you healthy. We're glad to see you scoring goals. We look forward to seeing more of them. We thank you very much for coming on the show. Best of luck in Utah this Saturday.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's Kaylia Ohai. Expect to see more goals from her this year. HoustonDynamo.com. Then you click on Houston Dash, and that's where you can get tickets to the Dash. I'm going to be giving away some tonight as well. By the way, Tri-Eagle Energy. Not only is Tri-Eagle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they are giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for a year. You want to learn more? Text POWER to 77177. Sign up for POWER to Win electricity plan for a year. Each time the Dynamo win a home game, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a year of free electricity. Dynamo have been winning a lot this year. Again, to enter, win by texting POWER to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. PUCT, hashtag 164.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, we don't get on the air without the Daspit Law Firm. There are presenting sponsors. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, 18-wheeler, you name it. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered. It'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. And get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Fox analyst, former U.S. international. You will see him on the Women's World Cup in France this summer with Fox. He's Alexi Lalas. He joins us now. Alexi, did you ever need a personal injury attorney?
I have yet to need one for any of the things that you mentioned. However, if I am ever in need, and certainly in your neck of the woods, I know exactly who I'm going to now. So they can be your best friend at your worst time.
I had a feeling you might have been a mosh pit at some point or something, or you know. You know, we all need one. All right, let's get to the first. I got to just tee up here, just basically to get some thoughts on what was an iconic and epic, and what will go down in history and lore as a legendary Liverpool and Champions League match here today, the 4-0 win over Barcelona to advance to the final.
Yeah, I mean, it is an amazing world we live in terms of the amount of soccer that we're able to see as American soccer fans, the quality of soccer, and then the reason why we watch it and why we sit through games that maybe aren't so good. And it's because you want moments like you saw today. And I don't think that there was anybody out there other than Liverpool fans who were just picking Liverpool because that's what they have to pick, that thought this was going to happen. And yet the soccer gods, they work in strange and mysterious ways. And it was wonderful. It was, one, like you said, one for the history books. I think people will be talking about it for a long time. I certainly think you can make an argument it's the greatest game at Anfield when it comes to European nights. And given the circumstances and given what the final score was, it was something improbable. But as we have seen, not just in soccer, but in sports in general, anything can happen. And so it was wonderful to see. Congratulations. I also think it highlights just how good Jurgen Klopp is. Because that first leg against Barcelona, he didn't abandon the philosophy of who they are. And they got pegged 3 goals. But they played well and they created opportunities. And he just went right back to the well for the second game and said, look, this is who we are. This is our identity, if you want to call it that. And it paid off in the end. And like I said, the soccer gods smiled on him. And it was a wonderful moment in soccer, regardless whether you like Liverpool, whether you like Barcelona, whether you like Messi, whether you like anybody. It was just a wonderful soccer match and amazing magic stuff.
Yeah, and listen, Jurgen Klopp, obviously, I don't think there's any question. When you watch this guy, it's like you want to play for this guy. He just seems to say and do the right thing almost all the time.
Yeah, and it's not just all lip service. It's not all rah-rah. You know, sometimes you get coaches and they scream and yell or they're much more about theatrics. You get a feeling that everything that he does is with a purpose, and it's calculated, but it's genuine. And as you said, I think he is the ultimate player's coach, and you want to not just play for him, but you want to run through a wall for him. And even at times where you might not totally be on board, because you trust him, and I think that's a really important word, you trust him, he makes individually you better as a better player, and collectively, even though you might not individually be the best group of players, as a group under that coach, he just seems to find ways to make them that much better and to believe and do things that they didn't believe that they could do, and certainly from an outside perspective, many of us didn't believe they could do.
Yeah, I guess from the outside perspective, as you mentioned, and we're talking to Alexi Lalas, Fox analyst, former U.S. international, you know, my biggest litmus test or eye test is, are players playing for the manager? And there's no question, this guy gets this team playing for him game in and game out, and even if it's they're not their best day, because they're playing for him and with a purpose and for each other, they still get results.
It's something to behold, and he's done it now multiple places in creating something, and I think he's got a really interesting thing on his hands with this Liverpool situation, and I think regardless of what happens, he's going to go down as a legend, you know, even without the actual trophies. I know that's important, but he has gotten to this point almost, it's not Pep, it's different than Pep, but it's the same type of awe that comes with him, in that this is what he believes. This is what he is going to do, and he gets his team to do it. And you don't see a lot of those. You see a lot of pragmatists that ultimately just find a way in that moment to get the job done. But you don't see a lot of – I think he's a romantic. And I just think he's a romantic, and we have very few of those in the game. As I said, I think Pep is one of them. But I do think that Jurgen Klopp, and it's amazing that we're living in a time where they're both in the same league, and they're both going back and forth when it comes to the EPL title potentially. And I did ask the question after this game, if you're a Liverpool supporter and you could only have one, would you rather have Champions League this year or the Premier League title this year? Because I know how important that title is. And to be quite honest, I think the long-suffering and the longer-suffering Liverpool fans would say that the Premier League title is more important, as opposed to that more global and international cosmopolitan group that certainly supports Liverpool as a global brand. They would probably say Champions League.
Yeah, that is a good question. I would leave that to the Liverpool fans to answer. But I do love your way of saying using the word romantic, because I think in the high-powered world and big-dollared world of football and sports globally, these are the moments that we really love to latch onto. And as you said, you know, I think we're conditioned because we've seen so much unbelievable talent and coaches and games with Liverpool and City consistently, and Barcelona, and you know that it's easy to almost think this is commonplace and every day, and it isn't. We're not living in reality. He as an inspirational leader, though, that's what I like. Is he a Jedi Master, an Oracle, a Mensch? What would you call him?
I would first off, I think he understands not just the mentality of the player, but I think it more importantly the mentality of the player in the moment. There, because look, he was a former player, and the best coaches, I think, are able to recognize that just because it worked when they were playing, or just because it worked when they first started out as a coach, doesn't necessarily mean that it works now. And you have to be able to evolve and adjust with the times. I mean, the soccer players today are very, very different in the way that they think about themselves, the way they think about the game, the way they go about their business on and off the field than when I was coming up. And you have to accept that and appreciate that and evolve so you can understand how are you going to motivate a very different type of personality and character than maybe you were used to as a player or when you first started out coaching. I think that look, everyone talks about Manchester United and Sir Alex and what he did. One of his greatest feats, I think, Sir Alex, was while he had a defined belief system, I think he had a wonderful capacity to change and to evolve and to adapt with the times, which is why he knew exactly when to cut bait with players, but he also knew how to motivate players in a time and an age that he wasn't necessarily from. And I think that's not always easy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And I think we've seen a lot of managers potentially go by the wayside. We've certainly seen it in MLS with the evolution of MLS, no question. And I think we've seen it in the Premier League and in Europe as well, no doubt about it. Okay, we can't just talk about Liverpool. We do have to talk about Barcelona. They obviously were overpowered by will and desire and a fan base and all of this. But Roma did the same thing against them last year in the Champions mm-hmm. League after they had a huge lead. What does this say for the manager, Ernesto Valverde? And is this something that, you know, is this potentially something that's systemic? Did they just miss that little bit that they didn't have, that they don't have now that they once did under Pep?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think, you know, look, you win the league, but the league's the league. It's really, when we're talking about these super clubs, what we're judging them is judging them against another, let's say, to be generous, another 10 teams out there. And so that falls to the Champions League right now. It's interesting because I was talking to my friend David Mossy on our podcast, The State of the Union, which you can certainly download. But he made a point the other day, and I thought it was really interesting that This is the least Barcelona that we have seen Barcelona, in that we have been told for many, many years now that Barcelona is més que un club. It's more than a club. It's about a philosophy of the way that they play. They transcended the sport. They transformed the sport in the way that they played when they started with Pep, and that translated into something that was an identity, that was a style of play that was going to last. It was fostered at a young age and then matriculated through the system and all that. And the reality is, I think what his point was, that maybe it's just much more, especially now that Iniesta and Xavi are there, that it was really about the individuals that they had as opposed to the actual style of play. And you couldn't replicate that style of play without those individuals. And then the question is, well, and this is getting a little, you know, big picture and esoteric and everything. Well, is it really a style of play if it doesn't translate to multiple groups and you can't foster it with a younger group? And if really the only style was, get it to Messi and let him do his thing, is that even a style in and of itself? Now, look, this is a wonderful team still. Messi still is arguably the greatest player ever to play the game, and we're still going to watch. But I do think some of that luster that has propped up Barcelona, not just Barcelona as a winning team, but Barcelona in a winning team in a specific way, I think that it's lost a little bit of that luster now with the way that they have gone out, especially the last couple of years.
State of the Union podcast with Alexi Lalas. You can download it on Fox. I've done that. You talked about pragmatic. I want to take this over to something I thought that was awesome that I saw. So I saw this rant from a Dutch coach in a video. And this was, mind you, after he had won 4-0 against an opponent. And I had to get it translated by a Dutch buddy of mine. But basically they ask him after the game, after he's won 4-0, he doesn't want to talk about the win. All he wants to do is rake over the coals, the opposing coach, for playing negative soccer, ugly soccer. So I thought it was hilarious, but I also loved it because that's the Dutch way. It's as much about how you play the game as it is the results. Do we ever get to a point where in MLS we're going to say, hey, DC United, you sat back, you know, for an entire game on the road? Why should we appreciate that?
Well, first off, you're already imposing your individual and subjective view on what the beautiful game is. And so while the majority may agree with you that possession and attack and not sitting back is the way, quote unquote, the way the game should be played, that's a subjective type of view on the game. We all have our different opinions as to what beautiful soccer is. And one of the interesting things about being in the United States, Glenn, you've been here as long as I have, and you've seen it evolve, is that we have all of this incredible diversity that provides incredible diversity and difference in thought as to what the game is when it is played in a beautiful way. There's no common and collective type of agreement as to this is beautiful soccer. And so that coach in that moment was angry at somebody else for not playing the way that he felt the game should be played. But that doesn't mean that that's the way the game should be played, and it also doesn't mean that that's the beautiful game. To him, it's the beautiful game. So what I'm saying, look, I can appreciate and love and find beauty in an incredibly defensive performance. I can appreciate and love and find beauty in a long ball. I can appreciate and find beauty in a counterattack or a direct style of play. So it's all in the eye of the beholder right now, and I do think that there is a little bit of elitism and sanctimony. And it's not just internationally, it happens over here too. Some people, are talking about, oh, they're not playing the game the way the game should be played. Well, you know, your way it should be played may be different than how I think it should be played. And so it is a fun conversation to have. And it's very interesting to see the different ways of that people think about how the game should be played. But to finish it up and to answer your question, I still think it's going to take a long time before there is a collective understanding and, more importantly, a collective agreement as to how we want to play. And that's our biggest challenge, to be quite honest, is getting 11 players, from a national team perspective, 11 players that represent this incredible, diverse United States that we live in my estimation, the greatest country in the world, to be on the same page as to how, this is how we're going to play. And I know we've talked about this before, and it's a much longer topic, and we could go on forever about it.
No, that is 100% a fair point, and it is subjective, no question. So with that in mind, I ask you, what don't you like about, or what's a style of play that you don't like? And don't tell me you like them all.
No, I don't. No, I like a much more direct style of play. I like I'll be honest with you. I get bored with I guess we call it nowadays what ticky tacky type of stuff. I get it bores me.
Side to side.
I understand the reason for doing it. I understand the patience that it takes, but you can't force me to have that type of patience. And you can call me names and say, oh, it's above you, and you can't understand really the nuances and the layers and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not necessarily what I want to see. And so I like a much more direct, a much more, shall we, much more blatant type of attack, as opposed to a much more patient type of approach that some teams have. So, you know, but that's what I like. And as I said, I love the aerial game. I love a beautiful long ball into space. I love a beautiful long ball into the space occupied right in front of a post-up type of player who then plays it on and drops it off or holds the ball up. I can appreciate all of that. So that's the type of stuff that I like to play. Do I like to see and watch a team bunker and park the bus for an entire game? I don't like to see it, but I recognize the beauty within that, even though it's harder to see at times.
No, I understand. And you've been in teams that have won like that, and that could be the greatest day of your life, you know. Same with me. But I'm at a different phase now, speaking of evolution. I want to see something that entertains me. That doesn't entertain me anymore, and I also think it, for me, it's a little bit of the easy way out, and I understand certain teams have players, and this is the way you have to do it, and potentially it's the weather in the summer here in the U.S.
Yeah, but you mentioned the most important word you just mentioned is entertainment. We are in the entertainment business, and the players on the field get paid money. They are the product on the field, and you have customers that come and pay good money to watch it, and you better entertain them because that's what they want, or they won't come back, and they won't buy your product anymore. So you better be playing a style that the most people that want to buy your product are entertained by. And that's what you have to decide. If you're, whether you're the coach and the technical director in Houston, or whether you're the coach and technical director over in Barcelona, you got to make sure you are giving your customer the product that they want and expect.
Yeah, absolutely. My life is getting shorter by the minute, so I don't want to sit around and watch a team defending deep in their own half. So whenever you see a team defending deep, know that I'm not watching.
There you go. And you're not buying tickets.
Okay. So let's move on from this. We're talking with Alexis Lalas, a State of the Union podcast. You're going to catch him in France on the Women's World Cup, which totally stoked about that. That's going to be an interesting World Cup this summer. I want to just take you into expansion of Major League Soccer. And yes, we're all excited. It's incredible. The money, the markets, they're exploding, all kinds of great things happening. And then we get an article in The Athletic that talks about the non-relevant markets and, you know, it's the Chicagos, the Houstons, the New Yorks, the New Englands, the Colorados. And there are real struggles in these markets. And I'm not talking about any on-field products, although that's a part of it too. But I guess we don't want to talk about the dirty laundry too much, do we?
Well, no, we do. But I think there also has to be a recognition that it's real easy from other markets and from outside to tell people how to do their job and how to spend their money. It's also real easy to tell some of the originals, the people that have been there for 20 plus years, the people that were there when things weren't great when it comes to Major League Soccer, that this is what they should be doing or why aren't they doing better? And look, this is a single entity and therefore it is about the collective and you're only as strong as your weakest link. And you're always going to have a weak link. And that it is some of these originals, I think it's at times rich when some of the new clubs, the nouveau riche come into the league and explode. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful for them. And it's wonderful for the league. And ultimately, it's wonderful for the collective. But then they're going to scream and yell about what the other clubs and the other and some of them that have been around 20 years aren't doing in their market. Now, there are absolutely times where you can call people and take them to task for what they aren't doing or what they are doing that's not working. But as you know, look, this is a labor of love, and this is about pushing that boulder, that soccer boulder, uphill every single day, every single year, regardless of how popular or how exciting or how many expansion teams come in right now. It's a good thing that we have expansion teams right now. I think it's a reflection on the wonderful environment that we were talking about earlier in the U.S. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the Lamar Hunt Open Cup, and I'm watching a team called the Lakeland Tropics and the Villages SC on my television right now. There's so much professional soccer. There's so much soccer to be seen in this country, and trying to get it all. Sometimes it's difficult to put it all into your brain. But it's a wonderful environment, a wonderful climate to be in. And I think a lot of business folks out there recognize that this is something they want to be a part of. And if they're smart, they've obviously bought low and sell high. They look at this in terms of a stock, and they got to be pretty bullish in that this is one that's going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why I think you're seeing more and more markets that recognize that this is something that they want from a business perspective and from a community perspective.
Alexi, thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's always a great pleasure. It's good fun talking with you as well. That'll wrap it up tonight. That was Alexi Lalas, and again, we thank you, Alexi.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here tonight. For Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Soccer Matters podcast at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. Sunday in Austin, Soccer Matters, 12 noon Central Time. Good night, everyone.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.